The information in this program is sold for informational purposes only and is not intended for use as diagnosis or treatment of a health problem or as a substitute for consulting a licensed healthcare professional for medical advice, instruction, diagnosis, or treatment. Neither the author, the publisher, nor the distributors will be held accountable for the use or misuse of the information contained in this program. Because there is always some risk involved, the author, publisher, and/or distributors of this program are not responsible for any adverse effects or consequences resulting from the use of any suggestions or procedures described hereafter. The views expressed in this program are the views of the presenter and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of Sun Food Nutrition or KMG Associates, LLC. No part of this program may be reproduced in part or in whole by any means without the express written consent of the author.
Welcome back. Did you take action on yesterday's assignment? Did you turn over a food for thought card and answer the question? Did you turn over an action on a best day ever card? Did you complete the action? Did you do what was said? If you want to activate the power of this program, and I know that you do, we strongly recommend that you combine the listening with the cards and the actions they instruct. This is how you can invoke a ton of fun, a lot of magic, and really make this program a great success for you. Listen close to today's program. There's lots of material that we're going to cover. Enjoy and have the best day ever. A huge part of the whole nutrition equation, probably the biggest part of the weight loss equation, is setting yourself up psychologically to win. Lining yourself up with what we understand about human psychology, which essentially is basic. People want to eat food that's good. They want to have flavor. They want to have taste, and they want to do those things that they like to do. And people don't want to do those things they don't like to do. We have arrived at the belief that it's important not to get caught up in the diet drama. And diets intrinsically mean this is good, that's bad. Eat this, don't eat that. If you tell a child no, like don't eat this, the child's going to eat that as soon as you're not looking. Now, the same can be also said for an adult. If you tell an adult, don't eat this right here, it's like telling people not to think about a pink elephant dancing around on a stool. It immediately conjures that image. It immediately causes the person to go, oh, I can't eat that. And it creates a childlike impulse to want to eat it. And that's human nature. Where we are in our understanding of human psychology is that is a lose-lose any way you look at it. There is no eat this, don't eat that anymore. That whole paradigm evaporated. Where we are now is here. Add these great things into your diet. Here, look at what you get to have. Here, aren't you grateful for these incredible choices of food that you are honored and graced with being able to taste? From that perspective, we begin to understand that adding things into our diet is a formula that wins every time because it doesn't take anything away. Nobody wants anything taken away. Nobody wants to be told no. Everybody wants to hear yes, yes, yes. So we are driving these superfoods and raw foods and all this great food with a mindset of, hey, let's just get on board with all the good stuff and have fun with new flavor sensations and new tastes and new feelings of energy and not worry about the diet drama. We are preparing ourselves with this program to psychologically win. And if we psychologically win, then we are going to physically win because our vision of ourselves, our thoughts about ourselves do become ourselves. I believe strongly that if we envision ourselves eating the right food, if we envision ourselves at the right weight, if we envision ourselves being fit, that we can achieve that goal much easier than if we don't. And this is psychology. The main thing about psychology is not fighting with yourself. not fighting with yourself, determining how, what kind of a person you are. Look, I'm the type of person who likes to eat at night. That's how I am. I might go the whole day and not eat anything, but at night I like to eat. That's how I am. I might eat at 3 a.m. I have read dozens of books that say don't eat after 6, don't eat after 9, don't have any late night snacks. That stuff is for somebody else. It's not for me. And I can't even tell you how many years it took me to just dump that stuff off and get rid of it because it does not serve me. It's not who I am. We need to find out who you are. Do you like to eat a big breakfast? Maybe you don't. Do you like to eat at night? Maybe you don't. No matter what it is, we need to psychologically set it up so that you are winning and that you feel comfortable with what you want and who you are. I read books for years that said, don't eat fat. Fat is bad. And I'll tell you what, I feel better than ever when I eat a high-fat diet. Now, I don't eat junk fat. I don't eat hydrogenated oil. I eat pumpkin seeds. I eat almonds. I eat avocados. I eat coconuts. These things are high in fat, but it's a good type of fat. It's a fat that serves me. These are psychological messages that we need to either come to alignment with or overcome or somehow create a situation so that we are not battling ourselves. If you get in a psychological battle with yourself, no matter who wins, you're going to lose. Avoiding the inner conflict. Therefore, all rules are off. There are no rules. Each person is an individual. Each person is unique. And if you want to eat in the middle of the night, you eat in the middle of the night because that's who you are. That's how I am. Fortunately, we have food today that is not fattening, that tastes great, that's absolutely a joy to make, raw foods and living foods and some of these great recipes that are now available, that allows you to be able to eat in the middle of the night and not gain weight. But we have to break the rules because we have gotten into a deeper and deeper and deeper mess because our rules are not accurate. Our rules about diet, about nutrition, are arbitrary. They've been made up by people who aren't even healthy. You know, people who die of heart attacks and they're telling you, here's your diet that heals you of heart attacks. This is just nonsense. You need to look at the person first and go, is that person getting the right result? Are they getting the result that I want? And if they are, you need to listen closely as to the approach. You need to be aware that you are a unique individual. And psychologically, there's things that work for you and there's things that don't work for you. There's things you can do, disciplines you can have, and there's disciplines you can't have. There's habits you can create with ease that other people go, my God, how does that person do that? And there's other habits that you cannot create. We are taught something that is very, very destructive, and that is we need to work on our weaknesses. That's just complete nonsense. We need to not work on our weaknesses. We need to work 100% on our strengths, what we're good at. That's how we're designed. Work on your strengths. Find out those things that you can do habitually. Find out ways that you can eat that do serve you. And hey, if there's things that don't serve you, don't focus on that. That's just going to happen anyway. Focus on those things that make you strong. Focus on those things that you know you're good at. This is psychologically setting yourself up to win. The Greek said, know thyself. No truer two words have ever been spoken. If you take those words to heart, they can guide you all the way there. How do we begin? Well, the first step to knowing yourself is to decide, hey, I want to be at this weight. I want to get to this place. How do I do it? What's the easiest way is to add food in. If you say, no, I'm going to resist or use willpower or my mind is going to overwhelm my body and my cravings, this is setting yourself up into a battle. What you can do is just say, hey, I'm going to add in the good things and just see what feels good. I know people who just began adding goji berries into their diet. Within 3 weeks, it's their favorite food ever that they ever had. They snack on it all the time. They travel with it. Now, this is a food that these people never even had before, ever. They never even knew it existed. If you don't add a food in, you might not achieve a certain satisfaction with a food because you'd never even tried it. We actually eat very few foods in the world. Surprise, 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 80% of the world's food consists of 15 different things. What are they? soy, wheat, barley, dairy from goat, dairy from cow, corn, potato, chicken, coconut and orange actually made the list, rice, and a few other accoutrements around that. It's very clear to see that when you get into adding new things, you might be adding things in that nobody ever even heard of, but they might be the best things ever for you. For example, I never heard of cacao beans. I had no idea that chocolate could be eaten raw. I didn't even know where chocolate came from. I had absolutely no clue at all. The first time I ate a cacao bean, I knew instantly that this was the best food for me. The first bite I took of it, I could have easily gotten through my entire life and never even tried it, never even remotely even thought about it. This is the power of adding foods into your diet. You may find a food, let's just say, for example, it's spirulina. You add spirulina to your water, and let's say you are a type of person who needs a high-protein diet. You might just put spirulina in your water 3 or 4 times a day and sail through that day with hardly eating at all. This could be the great key for you where you're just doing what you love, what feels good. There's no struggle. There's no inner conflict. And all of a sudden, you get through the end of your day, and you're like, wow, I pretty much had 0 calories. I had all the protein I needed. I had all this chlorophyll, all these minerals. I feel great. Wow, what a concept. This is where we're going with our conversation. This is where the psychology is going. You keep trying different things. Maybe you try pumpkin seeds. Maybe you try flax bread. Perhaps you're going to get into herbs. Maybe you're really someone who jibes and just feels good with ginseng. You wouldn't know it unless you tried it and really got into it. And if you find that magical food for yourself, if you add in that special nutrient that your body goes, yep, this is the one we've been looking for, you have accomplished something that almost nobody else has accomplished. You have found a quote-unquote superfood for you. You have found a food that causes you to feel great, causes you to be completely distracted away from cravings and desires for other stuff. It causes you to become very focused on who you are, what you do best, and what makes you feel good. Isn't that a lot different than saying, well, I can't eat this, I have to eat that, I can't put this on my baked potato because this book said no. You know, just all that nonsense. That stuff is just a distraction. The more we add, the more we can experiment with what I call the trial and success method. You try, and eventually you will succeed. And you feel it out. You feel out what's right. Let's say you've never had vegetables in your life. Well, try them out. Maybe you might find that, hey, snacking on celery is really something that works for you. Personally, I hated celery. I could never eat celery. I thought it was disgusting, all those little stringy things. It was gross. Until I started juicing celery. I added in celery juice into my diet because of the motivation I got from the juice man, who's a friend of mine, and he's a celery juice drinker. And I thought, God, this guy's been juicing for 40 years. I probably should listen to him, and maybe I'll do that too. So I started doing celery juice, and all of a sudden I found that I started liking celery, and pretty soon I noticed that celery could balance a bunch of bad habits that I had. For example, if I ate too many nuts, then if I ate celery, that was like an antidote. In fact, if I ever had too much nut butter, all I'd have to do is either eat a bunch of celery, or if it was already too late and I'd already eaten everything, I would make a celery juice, drink that, and it would be like the antidote. That's what I picked up using the trial and success method. This is an interesting time that we're in overall, because we are kind of backed into a corner. We believe we've tried every diet. We haven't. We believed we've tried all the choices. All we've done is eaten more chemicals. And we have to re-educate ourselves as to what is actually available. I mean, think about it. There are thousands of different types of vegetables on this planet that you haven't eaten. There are thousands of different types of edible seeds on the planet that you haven't eaten. There are hundreds of seaweeds on the planet, most of which you never even heard of. There are a huge array, I mean, probably 5 to 8 to 10,000 different herbs that you'll never try and probably will never even hear of. There are all kinds of great superfoods out there from all over the planet, whether it's the cedar nuts from Russia or the maca coming from the Andes, that could be the perfect food for you, but you never know unless you try. We are doing our best to put those foods in front of you so you can at least give it a taste and go, okay, trial and success. Yep, this one works for me. Trial and success. This one doesn't. And if you suddenly have wheatgrass in front of you and you go, this is the worst thing ever, this is like eating a lawn, you don't have to have it. You just skip it because there's tons of other great choices out there. If you suddenly find yourself with celery juice in front of you and you go, you know what, I don't know what this guy was talking about on this tape, I don't really like this stuff, don't eat it. Eat something else. That's psychology. That's what we're talking about. If you don't like something, don't eat it. If something doesn't agree with you, don't eat it. If something does agree with you, let's say it's blue-green algae, but you went to a lecture and this guy said, no, that's pond scum. You shouldn't eat that. This is bad because of A, B, C, D, E, F, G, but you feel good. You need to have the power within you to say, you know what? Maybe that person is wrong because my body says yes. This is a good time to talk about the emotional frustrations that people feel with eating. It is really critical in every level of dietary exploration. Even if you're a diet guru or you never even heard about changing your diet, at any level, we need to look at the feelings and the emotions of guilt and shame in relation to food. And a lot of this is rooted into those young memories, memories from when we were 5 or 3 years old or 7 years old. Our human body is so miraculous that even if we feel guilt or shame about eating food, our body can still digest that food. Even if our conscious mind is telling us, no, 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 we have to get rid of it, a lot of times our body says, well, you know, just shut up. Get out of the way. I'm going to digest this anyway. Lining up our conscious mind with the digestion of the food is a huge factor in attaining digestive wellness. So we're not battling our stomach. We're not battling our liver or our kidneys in their ability to digest and break down our nutrients. We are lining up with it. Even if we eat the wrong thing that we know is wrong, we know we're going to feel bad, let's line up with it. Let's just say, hey, okay, it's okay. You know, it was like a party, it was a celebration, and I ate the pizza, and I know it doesn't feel good, but I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I did it, and I had a good time while I was doing it. Let's say it was coffee. Let's say you're trying to get off coffee because you know it doesn't make you feel good, and you know you're going to be hungover if you do too much of it or whatever. Line up with it. Go, hey, maybe you need the coffee to get through your work day, or maybe you need the coffee to do the writing that you need to do or whatever. We need to get into a place where we are lining up positively with our actions, even if we know our actions aren't the best actions ever. Likely, they're not the worst actions ever. It's not like we're committing suicide. We're still taking action that is in some way giving us something. And the realization of that, I believe, is a critical factor in this overall psychology puzzle. If we can just lay off the self-judgment, let the guilt go and drop away completely, and that's just a choice. It is not a psychological battle. It doesn't take weeks of meditation or years of psychiatric evaluation. It's just a choice in the moment. Do you feel guilty or not? If you feel guilty, drop it. Distract yourself. Go jump rope or something. Go watch a film. Get yourself distracted so you're not going into that emotion. And the more you do that, the more and more you're going to realize that those negative emotions, guilt, fear, shame, absolutely can never serve you in any way. They don't cause you to change the behavior. They're 100% destructive. Every kind of negative emotion is 100% self-destructive. If you eat the wrong stuff, go with it. Have fun with it. Smile. You know, the jolly fat guy, whatever happened to him? You know, this is like in our mythology of our culture. It's like, hey, you know, the guy's big, fat, and jolly and happy. Why is he jolly and happy? Because even though the person's eating the wrong food, at least he's enjoying it. That's okay. And I'll tell you what, I have a cousin of mine. What a cool guy. And he was always kind of like the big fat guy in the family. But, God, I mean, girls just loved him. I could never figure this out because when I was younger, it was like lifting weights, getting yourself into shape and all this kind of stuff. But women don't care about that. They want to hang out with someone who's fun and happy and jolly. They don't care if you have a washboard stomach. They're more concerned if you're fun to hang around. That was such a lesson to me. I mean, it completely over time flipped my psychology around because I realized that actually the opposite sex is not into what I was doing, which was beating myself up in order to get in shape, in order to look good, in order to be attractive and all that stuff. What the opposite sex is into is, hey, you know, are you fun to be with? Are you happy? Are you jolly? So the jolly fat man does have a lot of psychological value, even though we've somewhat slipped away from that. How does it go? It says, eat, drink, be merry. It's a simple little quote. Put that in your journal. Write that down. Eat, drink, be merry. We have a technology, fortunately, that allows us to eat, drink, be merry, and remain in great shape, and eat as much as we want. What is that technology? It's all the great raw plant-based foods that we have to choose from right now. All those things, stuff we know we can eat at midnight and not feel guilt, shame, fear, or even if we do feel guilt, fear, or shame, it's all good. I know people who eat the best food ever and still feel guilt, fear, and shame. They still are feeling that. Come on. What is there to be guilty about? Everything is cool. It's like people set themselves up into these rules, and if they violate any rule, they freak out. If this is becoming a problem for you, if you're overanalyzing everything, I have a really strong suggestion. It's a suggestion that somehow reached me by a friend of mine who sent me books and tapes and all kinds of things for years. And I never listened to any of it until one day, finally, I cracked. And what this information that he sent to me really was about was getting out of your head, which is neurosis, which is something that our culture is eminently pre-involved in, and getting into your heart. Getting out of your head and getting into your heart. If you're overanalyzing, oh my God, I did this wrong. I should have had 3 pieces of that chocolate, but I actually had 4. That is selfish. That is totally ridiculous. There's people starving on the planet. If you feel in your heart the suffering of a child starving, you will immediately forget about eating 4 of the pieces of chocolate or whatever nonsense. If you get into your heart and you realize how fortunate you are to even have food to eat, if you get into your heart and you realize how much suffering there is on the planet and what you can do about it, if you get into your heart and you say, I'm going to donate my time to charity once a month or volunteer my efforts, the neurosis goes away. Why? Because you go out of your head and into your heart. Now, another way to get you into your heart, if that doesn't work for you, is just go out and just start moving your body until that heart starts pumping and you are exercising and you're feeling it and you can't think about anything else except, you know, gasping for breath. So exercise is a way of getting you out of your head and getting you physically into your body. Removing that neurosis, which is caused by sitting around too much and just thinking, and bringing you back into your body. Psychologically, we are very mind heavy in our culture. It's like all mind, turning things over, but we have tools to get out of it. Again, getting into your heart, feeling what other people are experiencing, feeling the good fortune that you have had the honor and the beauty of being able to enjoy. And feeling that heart pumping when you get out there and you start running or you start exercising, or you start jumping rope or you start doing whatever it is that you like, whether it's yoga or any kind of a qigong or martial arts or whatever. This program that you're listening to is not about fear. FEAR is sold to us all day and all night on every kind of media you could possibly think of because it keeps people reactive, it keeps people on their toes, and it keeps people in a mode where they can be sold something. This is not some kind of a program where you exactly have to have 3.14159265358978 milligrams of calcium at exactly 1:13 p.m. every afternoon. That is not what we're doing here. What we're doing here is we are empowering you with the ability to not only let go of the fear of failure, but also to let go of the fear of success. to let it all go. Again, this is all mind stuff. If your mind's turning and you're concerned and worried and this fear and neurosis is all happening, get out of your mind and get into your heart. Think of how many people on the planet cannot walk. Think of how many people are paralyzed from the neck down. When I was a kid, I grew up around people like that because my dad worked rehabilitating people with spinal cord injuries. And I learned very early how fortunate I was to be able to even move my arms or fingers or being able to actually go out and walk in the woods. That is the perspective that we need to have in order to appreciate what we have. Every moment that we have where we can walk around, control our eliminatory functions, the ability that we have to even speak or hear or see is a gift from God. It is a gift that we need to appreciate. So I am always very concerned when I see someone who's perfectly healthy wound up in some neurosis, because I really feel that that person is being selfish. They need to actually go to a hospital where people have suffered a spinal cord injury. So put everything in perspective. They need to go to a place where someone has lost a leg. So everything comes into perspective. And they need to get into a heart-feeling state where they can volunteer their time to support people who are less fortunate than they are. The possibilities of all of this are essentially infinite. You can try so many different methods of a diet, so many different methods of feeling good, so many different methods of psychologically balancing yourself. But the most powerful thing is to get lined up with your heart, with how you're feeling, and to guide yourself with that. Make that your lead mentor. Your heart can mentor you, and if you feel good about something, if you feel good about what you ate, hey, keep doing it. If you feel bad about what you ate or you feel guilt, fear, or shame, distract yourself and remember next time, hey, go with what you're feeling. Let your feeling guide you. We are giving you choices. We're listing foods for you that you can just begin to add in, to play around with, and eventually, if you really get turned on, you can get on the internet, punch up all different kinds of raw food recipes. You can learn about all kinds of different retreats you can go to. And eventually you can get so distracted by having such a good time with your food that all the other stuff just kind of falls away like a big house of cards. A welcome byproduct of natural nutrition and natural foods, let's say it's wheatgrass, or let's say it's eating more salad or getting on organic food, is that you begin to get your real taste sensations back. And this is something that is very difficult to describe because it's an experience. It's something that when you've been through that experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you've not been through that experience, it sounds like I might as well be on Mars. We, in general, as a result of eating junk food, as a result of eating food that had tons of chemicals in it and pesticides and antibiotics and hormones and larvicide and every kind of, you know, heinous chemical substance, have lost our ability to really taste and smell properly. This is really major news. In fact, it's such major news that it's affecting every single aspect of our lives. We have become, to some degree, numb to how good food can taste, to real flavor sensations. If you really like food, I got news for you. The best food ever has yet to pass your lips. The best meals ever have yet to pass your lips, and your lips have yet to reach their prime capacity. Exciting stuff. Psychologically, we get closer and closer and closer and closer to even higher levels of joy with eating once we cleanse our palate, and that cleansing is essentially a detoxification. It's removing those layers of mucus that build up all the way through our digestive tract that protect us like calluses that build up on a bodybuilder's hands. Those calluses protect that individual skin, and just like that, we build up these layers of soot and silt and debris on the inside of our digestive tract that protects us, but it also numbs us. As those layers come down, what ends up happening? We end up cleansing it out. We get more feeling. We get to feel the food more because the food is not coming in so harsh. It's coming in soft. And lo and behold, after a few months, after a few weeks, we go, wow, I never tasted an avocado like this. I never had a fruit like this. Salad never tasted good to me before until now. I couldn't eat a vegetable before, but now I love it. We go through that metamorphosis. I did a retreat one time, and this woman came to the retreat, and she said, you know, I like raw food, I like living foods, I like organic food, but I'm telling you, I absolutely have to have eggplant parmesan. I said, okay. She said, you know, I know that it's against the rules, and I know that I'm not supposed to be having it, but I have to have it. I said, well, you know, in my book, there are no rules. And if you need to have it, here's what I recommend. Eat as much as you want. Eat all the raw and living foods you want. Eat all the eggplant parmesan that you could possibly eat in a million years. And enjoy it and love it. And she said, you know what? I like that. I'm going to do that. Now, here's what's interesting. I ran into her about 3 or 4 months later. And I think I was getting into a bus on a retreat or maybe something. I can't remember exactly how it was. But she said, hey, it's me. And I said, who are you? She said, I'm the one, the woman. I said, oh my God, I remember you. You were at the retreat. And she said, yeah, I was the one who was like the eggplant parmesan. You remember? And I said, yeah, of course I remember you. And she said, look, I did what you said. And I was like, what did I say? I forgot what I said. She said, look, I ate all the eggplant parmesan I wanted. I had it every day, sometimes 2 or 3 times a day. And let me tell you something. I'm totally sick of it now. And she stopped eating it. Why? Because she just lost all of that emotional guilt and shame and fear and everything about it because all the rules around it just fell apart all of a sudden. She realized, hey, I can have as much of this as I want. It's all good. I'm eating all this other great food. No big deal. You know, to some people, eggplant parmesan is like the healthiest thing they'll eat in a week. It was fascinating to me psychologically how this woman had transformed herself. Absolutely fascinating. Why? Because instead of giving her some rules telling her no or, you know, something that says you can only have it once a day or once a week, it was just like, let all those rules go as much as you want. Do it till you're done with it. Once you're done with it, hey, then it's time to go on to something else. And that's exactly what happened. What I've noticed by adding things into the diet, by educating people about adding things into the diet, is it takes all the angst away. A lot of people get super concerned because, oh, like now I'm going on to a diet. I'm going onto an organic diet, or now I'm onto a living foods diet, or now I'm onto a raw food diet. And there's a whole bunch of angst, and there's a whole lot of baggage that comes with it. And if you just say, no, this is no diet, or there's no baggage, you can leave your luggage back on the airplane, people are relieved. They are just happy. Because you're not saddling them with a whole backpack full of junk. You're opening them to freedom. Consciousness is about freedom of choice. We have the greatest freedom of choice ever in the history of the world, and especially when it comes to food. So if we are in a situation where we can just add new things in and not have any other baggage to go along with it, we have cracked one of the biggest codes ever. And that is, we have achieved freedom, at least a significant dietary freedom. That, to me, is worth its weight in gold. And I love to see, when I'm speaking to people, their reaction when they realize, whoa, wait a second, he's not selling me some kind of a diet. He's just opening me up to taste sensations and choices that I want to do anyway. I just didn't even know it was there. What a beautiful thing. A key aspect of this program is goal setting. This is an area where you need to take action. It might literally just take you seconds, but in this part of the program, we're going to ask you to take action. Goal setting is ordering on the menu of the universe. Goal setting is telling God what you want out of millions or billions of choices that you could have or that you could select. When you choose to write a goal down, you are saying this particular goal is outdistancing all the others. And there is a magic in it. There's a magic in writing goals down. I got involved into goal setting years and years and years ago. It might have been 16 or 17 years ago at this point, because I got really excited about learning back then. And I began to go through my mom's house and reading every book I could get my hands on, all my brother's books that he'd accumulated, the self-help books I can find. And one day I found a series of tapes that had been recorded at a camp that I went to when I was a kid. And it was Anthony Robbins, who became a very famous success guru before he was famous, when he used to teach goal setting workshops and smaller events. And this particular set of tapes had various different pieces on different subjects, but one of them was about goal setting, and it was his goal setting technology. Anyway, in that tape, there was a couple that had set their goals, and after they had set their goals, he went around the group and said, okay, does anybody want to share their goal? And this couple had said, hey, we'll share our goal. We want to win the lottery. Well, he was a little bit, you know, this is kind of unrealistic, and you can't set a goal you're going to win the lottery. You're setting yourself up for failure. I mean, what are the odds of winning the lottery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it turns out that that couple won the lottery, and that's when I started setting goals. I realized from that story that there's something that we don't quite understand about the power of writing a goal down. It is absolutely amazing to me. It's absolutely shocking to me when I ask someone what their goal is and they tell me, and I say, have you written it down? That almost in every case, they haven't written it down. It takes 5 seconds to write the goal down. Right now, you could just stop this recording and write down your ideal weight. Right now, my ideal weight that I am at is 122 pounds. You could do that. It takes 5 seconds to do it, but it's amazing to me how many people will do it, how many people won't do it. That is the difference between failure and success. If you will write a goal down, if you actually believe that writing that goal down is going to separate you from the mass, is going to allow something to manifest that you've been working on for years and has not manifested, if you actually believe that, it will happen. You have to put it on paper. Can you put it on computer? Yes, you can. I've been setting goals not just on paper, but also on computer for many years as well. I found it works equally as well on the computer for some reason. Is there some little trick here that we need to know about goal setting? Do we just write 122 pounds down? That's helpful, but I've found that the goal needs to be in the present. I am 122 pounds. And it needs to be framed positively. So if I say, I am 122 pounds, that's great. But if it says, I am not 202 pounds, that's not framed positively. That's framed negatively, what we're moving away from. It's important for me to share with you after 16 or 17 years of goal setting what my health and weight goals are, because it is apparent to me over all that time that not only does goal setting work, but it will work miraculously and it will manifest the goal however you set it. In my life, my goal about food is I eat the best food ever. That's my goal. That's my written goal. My goal about drinks are I drink the best drinks ever. That's my written goal. My goal about water is I drink the best water ever. That's my written goal. My goal about health is I am the healthiest person that has ever existed in the history of the world. Now, that's a written goal. I can guarantee you right now that there's not one other person on the entire planet who has a written goal like that. Therefore, what ends up happening is I end up outdistancing everybody in that goal because the universe goes, hey, we're dishing out the best health ever. We're trying to find out who ordered it, and there they see it on my piece of paper. So, boom, I get it. And it happens. 16 or 17 years of goal setting, you begin to get out of doubt and you get into knowing. You begin to realize, whoa, there's something to it. I don't know exactly how it works. I don't even need to know exactly how it works. It doesn't even matter. We could go into metaphysical descriptions. We could go into, you know, the angels delivering the goals and watching out for you. We could say that Jesus did it, or we could do anything like that. But that is immaterial. It doesn't matter. All you have to do is take the goal out of your head, put it onto a piece of paper. When you put it onto a piece of paper, do you need to constantly review it? Should you put it in the freezer for a year or whatever? Do whatever you want, but we know there's a magic in just putting it on the paper. personally, I put it in onto paper and I put it into goal files in my computer, and a lot of times I forget about it. Every now and then, let's say it's New Year's or something and I'm doing new goals, I'll go back and I'll review and go, oh God, I had that goal in there. Or I said this goal this way, or, you know, I'll remember, hey, I wanted to add this to this goal or something like that, and I'll adjust it at that time. But I've found that you don't need to review your goals 3 times a day. You don't need to say them out loud. You know, none of that stuff. You just need to get it out of your head, get it onto paper, look at it, and go, okay, cool, it's there now. And that gives it some validity in the universe. Anais Nin said, if it's not written down, doesn't exist. If it's not written down, it doesn't exist. Right now, as you're listening to this recording, take out a piece of paper, take out your journal, take out your workbook, and begin writing down any kind of goal you can think of, health related. Let's say it's, I am fit and super athletic. Okay, put that down on paper. What I find is just totally shocking about the whole process is how little work it takes for how much the result is. In fact, goal setting will give you the most result for the least amount of work of any single thing you can do in your entire life. That to me is crazy. It's like a lever. It's the biggest lever ever. With 5 seconds of work, writing a sentence down, the lever that you create on the universe is massive, enormous, the biggest lever ever. This is a technology that we have learned. And again, a technology is just something that works. It doesn't have to be calculators, doesn't have to be computers, doesn't have to be mathematics. It's just a way of doing things better. If you want something, write it down and you're more likely to get it. It's just like going to a store. If you're going to go to a grocery store and you have a list, you get to that grocery store, you check stuff off the list. Same thing with goal setting. If you go out into the world and you got a list, your goals, even if it's subconscious, all of a sudden, whatever you are tuned into will just start showing up. There it is. Boom. You got it. It's happening. It's manifesting. And the next thing you know, you're at your ideal weight. You're eating the best food ever. You're eating food without guilt, fear, or shame. You're having tons of fun with your food. You're drinking the best beverages ever. You're finding the best water ever, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you are a doubter, if you're a pessimist, if you don't believe what I'm saying, then I'm saying take 5 seconds out of your day, 5 minutes. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain, and write down your goals. It's all you got to do. You don't have to even believe in it. That's what I found to be really interesting about goal setting. It's not like you write down the goal and then you have to go, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. That's totally immaterial. It's irrelevant. It doesn't have anything to do with goal setting. It just is about getting that thing out of here and getting it down there, and then you tell me what the results are. And the main thing that gets people out of doubt and pessimism is results. If you're into doubt and pessimism and all of a sudden you find out the goal setting is working, you're gonna shift that core belief about how the universe works. It happened to me. I mean, I grew up a doubter and a pessimist just like practically every other American. I'm not a doubter and a pessimist anymore. I'm an optimist, and I believe that anything is possible, not based on just some kind of blind faith, but upon the results that I've gotten by applying these types of principles, by applying the success principles I've learned in my life, the most important of which is goal setting. Every year, I used to set 100 goals, and then at the end of the year, say the next New Year's, I would review all those goals, and I found that I achieved somewhere between 30 and 33%. The interesting part about that is, what about the other 70%, 67%? What about that? Well, we could go into this whole thing of like, well, it doesn't work, I didn't set the goal right, and just freak out about the whole thing. Instead of doing that, I just let it go. I just said, oh, okay, I'll just reset the goal for the following year. I found that some goals took me 5 years to manifest, but suddenly there it was. It would happen, and sometimes it would happen in such a bizarre way that I had completely forgotten that the goal had even been set. I had maybe set it 5 years ago and then rewrote it 3 years in a row and then totally forgot it. All of a sudden it would happen, and then I'd be looking at my goals and be like, whoa, wait a second, that happened. It was a way I couldn't predict, a way I couldn't plan, and in a way I knew there had been some kind of intervention from the universe that could not be explained rationally. I decided from those types of experiences that I set goals for fun. It's a fun process. It's not another neurosis. It's just saying, hey, I'm ordering on the menu of the universe. And hey, sometimes you go to a restaurant and you order and you don't get what you ordered. And it's okay. Most of the time you do get what you ordered. That's the deal. Psychologically, just let it go. Just reset the goal for next year. Maybe it wasn't your time at that year. Maybe it's going to be the next year. Eventually, however, the goals do arrive. 16 or 17 years of goal setting does confirm for me that if you put your order in, you will get your result, not always when you want it or when you think it's going to happen, but inevitably, your day will come. Putting goal setting into a context that's directly relevant to what's happening for you is what we're going to get into right now. Let's say you're 250 pounds and you want to be 122 pounds. Well, there's different ways you could do it. You could go about it. You could say, I weigh 122 pounds. Or you could be clever and say, I weigh 122 pounds. And the next goal could be, I've easily and effortlessly, with joy, lost 128 pounds. We can create almost like art, or artistically wording our goals around what we want to happen. I do that a lot. This is something I've learned about goal setting. If you can play around with your words and say, I have the best time ever while I lose 128 pounds, or I have lost 128 pounds within 7 months, or over the next 3 months, I lose 10 pounds a month, or something like that. This is a way of kind of adding little flowers and clouds and hills and mountains and streams to the painting of the picture, the work of art that you're becoming. The more fun you can have with that, the more you can play around with it, the easier the whole thing becomes. Why that is, I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but I found it works. The more I play around with the goal, the more I add to it, create goals around it, the more I treat it like a work of art, like I'm putting highlights on the clouds, the more enjoyable it is for me, and I think the more enjoyable it will be for you. Goal setting is fun. Goal setting is art. Goal setting to me is a joy. Let's get into that. Let's say you don't like it. It's a chore. Okay, spend 5 seconds on it. Get rid of it. Let's say you want to get a little bit deeper into it. Okay, spend 5 minutes on it. Let's say you really want to get into it. Spend 10 minutes on it. Draw out the goal. Write it out like a story of exactly how the weight loss occurs, exactly how fun it is to eat the new food, how great your palate feels, how wonderful the taste sensations are to you, what you're smelling, what you're hearing, what you're seeing due to your new life. Get into the feeling states of, say, moving from 250 pounds to 122 pounds, being able to attract the opposite sex or a partner or a reattract a husband, wife, or significant other. Get into those feeling states and feel what that would be like. And then let that motivation power you into that goal setting process and power you into actually getting to that goal. You've reached the end of today's recording. Remember to turn over a food for thought card and an action-oriented best day ever card. Record the results in your journal. It's important that you look at all aspects of this program, listening to the recordings, flipping over the cards, and then taking action on what you find on the other side of those cards. Notice the synchronicities that start to build up. Remember that this program is holistic. We're going to ask you not only to listen to the recordings, but also to use the cards and to take action on what the cards instruct. All right, have fun with today's mission, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.